Good morning. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, 11 through 17. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come.
Thank you, Harrison. Well, I just have to tell you a quick story. Sorry about that. We've developed a new way of giving, haven't we? Drive through, fly by, run fast as you can, and drop it in the can. I don't know if are you seeing this happening up here? We've got kids that how fast can I come by and do that? Callan, have you done that yet? Have you figured out your speed record to get all the way? No? Okay. All right. Had a great week getting to be with my mom and dad. Got to hear lots of stories about things in the past, just had undivided attention at that moment. And I don't know if you remember, but there was a day back when toll roads, you didn't have a little tag and a little flashy light that recorded it when you get. You actually had to put money in a little bin. And my mom remembers the first place that a toll booth that they went to. We had relatives in Friendswood would come from Central Texas, and you'd have to take the loop around Houston, and you'd have to put your money in. So Dad's goal was that Mom would count out the money and put it in his hand, and that he would come through and slow down absolutely as little as possible and let the change just fly out of his hand, catch it, and by the time he got to the gate would be open and he'd keep right on going. I'm sure none of you did anything like that. Mom told two stories. So I'm kind of watching this here, and I'm like, what's going to happen when they miss? Because one day, Mom handed him the change, and he threw it, and it missed. And the gate didn't come up, and he didn't know whether he could back up because the person behind him had already kind of come in, and all those kinds of things, and sheer panic. Only to be exceeded by the time that Mom came to Houston all by her lonesome and realized, how do you do this? I can't count and drive and throw it in and keep going. And she realized you can actually stop at the little gate and put your money in as well as you want to. So I'm enjoying what we've got going here and these that are running by and how fast can you drop it in and all those kinds of things. Callan, I'm sure you'll figure out how fast you can do it. Yes? Okay. All right. I can count on him for that. That's exactly right. Well, we live in a little bit different part of the world where stuff is growing basically all the time. I like winter time because I don't have to cut the grass more than once a week. Somebody say amen. But it never really goes completely dormant, and that is all kind. We've had in the last month the kind of weather that I don't know if your garden or your yard is a little bit like mine, but a whole new crop of weeds has come up, haven't they? And they kind of spring up all over the place. But in reality, and maybe around here the trees tell us this as much as anything, there's a time when they're still and waiting. And probably the way the weather has gone recently, and I don't see any major cold fronts coming our direction, we're going to start to see trees putting out new life. I don't know, we so often now do gardening by going to wherever your favorite nursery is, let's say Lowe's right now, going to Lowe's and you buy the kind of one that is already sort of grown up a little bit, right? Vegetables, flowers, whatever it may be. And we don't have that sense of stepping back because most, by the way, and I know not all, but most of the things that are in those little pots at Lowe's or HEB or Home Depot or Ma's Nursery, wherever it is that you wind up going, actually started out as a little seed. And this new life comes forth from the earth in a way that really is not replicated by that process of putting something that's already started to grow in the ground. Now, let's be sure and say, is it faster? Answer, yes. Does it give us what we want a little quicker? Answer, yes. But we still don't step into that moment in time, that moment in reality in the creation itself, where something new springs forth from the earth. Almost, because there's a dissimilarity between the seed that you put in the ground, doesn't look anything like what comes up out of the ground. Parent plant, where the seed came from, yes. But as far as what that seed looks like and what comes up out of the ground, those are not the same. Almost if something new was being created. The Bible is full of language about new beginnings, new creation, as it were. And there's a powerful sense in which the Bible understands that all things are, as Peter reflected today, all things are always the same with God. And yet, at the very same time, they're also always new. Why don't you read with me from a couple of different places? 1 John, and then we'll go to Galatians. Dear friends, a note, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you've had since the very beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet, at the very same time, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. We have to skip down just a little bit to get to that command. This is his command. It is both old and new, all at the same time, that to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Let's jump to Galatians chapter 6. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Again, that which we begin, that which we start anew with. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. May I never boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. But what counts, what really counts, is new creation. I would ask for you to join me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this new day, this new first day of the week. We thank you for this time of renewal in our society where the calendar changes. And so often, again, as Peter has already said, so often we set these new goals for a new year. But Father, we recognize that with you, all things are new. And as much as you stay the same continually, there is a renewal that is constantly found in you. We thank you for the way our own lives reflect that renewal. We ask that your new creation be made in us. Father, this little bit of time in your word, may it lift us and point us towards you. May it energize and inspire us to join with you in making all things new, particularly our own heart and our own mind and our life itself. Thank you for Jesus, who is that first fruit, that new beginning from the grave to life, from sin and death to eternal life in the Spirit. Father, may our hearts, may our minds, but even more so, Father, may the steps of our lives be changed because we choose to invest a little time listening to you this morning. It is my prayer that my words will not interfere with your message, But I pray that more than my words, that your Spirit will deliver these messages to these people in these hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And the whole church said, amen. So again, let's go back to the plant world. Paul kind of reflected on the idea, if we plant seeds towards the flesh, we also we will reap things that come forth from those fleshly seeds. In the same way, if we plant seeds towards the Spirit, then the Spirit is born in our lives again. We see this at work. We know it. And by the way, even if we just buy the little miniature plant already started at the nursery, we recognize that there was a beginning point, a place at which something new came forth from the earth, from that soil right there. Something new is being born. Something new is taking place. We recognize that it can't take place without a death occurring. The seed itself can't remain a seed, if it does, it will never produce a plant. Instead, the seed yields its life, as much as it has life, the seed yields its life so that something new can be born. You and I are reflective of that process. Even in our own human life, we see the way in which a child is conceived in the womb. Something new, something special. And it grows forth from that place. Comes forth from the womb. And then continues to grow throughout its entire life. Something new has to happen. And we are called to make that idea of newness in our lives a part of how we see living each and every day. While we may point to the calendar changing as this time of new goals and new statements and stepping out into new things, in reality, when we live in Christ, we recognize that this newness is a part of us all the time. In fact, it's part of our creation itself that's within us. 2 Corinthians that Harrison read, 1 John, which struggles with that idea of old things that are new because they used to be in the darkness of the flesh and now they're in the light of the Spirit. And then in Galatians, where that argument between the old law and following those instructions and the new life in the Spirit come in conflict, and Paul recognizes that it is only possible through the new creation that Jesus brings in us. You see, it's not just the idea of replicating DNA. In reality, in the Christian life, something dies. Something is put to death. And it's not just in the sense of our lives and when we move to the grave that we have this new life in eternity, but in reality, the call of Scripture is to every day to lay our will, to lay our own personal struggles. That is the idea of trying to find our own way to that righteousness that can only be found in God. To put all that to death. And to let Christ bring something new. It is so disconnected from where we were that it is called new creation by multiple authors in multiple places throughout the Bible. God wants to make something new. Now, you're right. We're preaching this sermon on the first Sunday of a new year. But I hope what you hear in this sermon is that any reminder that something new is starting, whether it's the sun coming up on a new day, or Sunday arriving on a new week, or you turning the calendar on a new month, or every time we turn the calendar, have to go and buy a new calendar at the store for a new year, it should remind us that all things, every day, all the time, in Christ, are made new. And that includes you and I. So how can we be a people who step into that newness? Stepping into that newness that is stepping into the new life of Christ, just as He was the first fruits from the grave. Just as even when He arrived in that manger in Bethlehem, there was a new way in which creation was being perceived and a new relationship between God and His created order, how can we step into the newness that is life in Christ. First of all, I want to be sure and make this point as well as I possibly can. You can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. Your human flesh cannot produce what God wants to produce. So first of all, we must be a people who are constantly relying on the new creation that Christ offers. Paul reflects on this particularly powerfully in Romans chapter 7. And we're not going to read from there because it's very long reading. But I encourage you, if you've never read it before, or if it's not fresh on your mind, go back and read it. Because he struggles with that idea that I'm constantly in my flesh wanting to reach for all that God wants me to be and constantly reminded that if only in the flesh I strive for where God wants me to be, I will never get there. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he said, "Don't you know that you have to be born again?" And I absolutely think that Jesus is pointing towards the rebirth that happens in the waters of baptism. But it was a concept that Nicodemus couldn't really grapple with. He had lived in a religious system, a system that had followed God's word very intensely, but had done it in such a way that he thought, this is something that I can do as a human being, that we can do as a human community. And Jesus needed to remind him that if God is not the source, if God and the Spirit are not the thing that we rely on above all else, then we can never get to the newness that Christ offers. Christ offers a newness, yes, in the waters of baptism. You and I, many of us, have risen out of those waters. And again, we think, I look the same, I feel the same, I'm not sure what's so terribly different. But in reality, the Spirit has invaded and driven sin out of our life. We have not simply been made better, we've been made new. The offer that 1 John talks about, the idea that if we say that we don't have sin, that I've arrived at some level where I am not in much as need of God, then in reality we call God a liar. But instead, if we're a people who are constantly confessing, recognizing that we can't do it ourselves, humbly stating that without you I am nothing, that process of repentance and confession, not just in the idea of people that come to the front or maybe go to a friend, but in our hearts, in our daily prayers, there's a sense of, God, I can't be by myself what you want me to be. I need you. I need you. I need you to be what you want me to be. In reality, it is always my prayer and my hope that returning to these services, week in, week out basis, singing these songs, some of which are new, some of which are old, some of which are so old that we've forgotten how they go, that they create a new sense of what God wants to do in our lives, that we're renewed by that. It isn't just a situation where we're simply going through a set of rituals. We're being reminded of what God is doing. And so, if we're going to step into the newness of Christ, we must constantly rely not on what we can do, but what on Christ can do. Secondly, if the text says anything, and again, Jesus kind of reflected on this in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the... Very little of that is about what we do. Instead, new creation is always going to have to be focused on being who we are becoming more than what we're doing. Let's be sure and say, no two ways about it, and the text reflects this, that when we become something new, it changes what we do. So there will always be an outflowing, a fruit, as you will, if you will, of what it is that we're striving for. But if our purpose is pointing towards the fruit, then we're not engaging in the transformation that God wants us to be engaged in, the new creation that He wants to bring. Yes, Will you be blessed if you decide that I'm going to make Sunday morning a little more regular of an occasion for me? Will you be blessed if you say, you know what, I want to try life groups, which are going to start in a couple of weeks? Haven't done that before, and that's a do. Yes, you'd be blessed if you decided to be here for Bible class, whether that's on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. There are great things going on. And particularly, let me just be sure and say that your children, your grandchildren, Joe Talbot keeps bragging about all these great-grandchildren that keep popping up all the time. They would be blessed by your dedication of bringing them to a time of Bible class. But in reality, if the goal is simply, I want to get to church more often, that's not what's going to create the new creation. That's not what's going to bring and invite the new creation that God wants to bring. What is it that He wants to make us into? Who and what does He want me to be? And yes, some fruit should flow from what He wants me to be. Have to be real straight with you. Our human flesh works this way sometimes. Sometimes it does take doing some things to become what God wants us to be. I'm not going to argue with you. But if the point and the focus and the ultimate goal is simply the doing and not doing so that we become, then we miss what God is offering us. In reality, we sit with Nicodemus in that conversation and say, what new birth? How can I enter into my mother's womb again? Because we don't even understand the concept that God wants to change us from the inside out and to make us so different from beginning to end that it can't even be connected except to describe it as new birth and new creation. Well, if you think point number two about being more than doing was controversial, you're really not going to like point number three. So I'm just warning you. Everybody scowl real big just so we can get it over with real quick. Because point number three is this. Stepping into the newness of Christ is much less about what we stop and much more about what we start. You say, what in the world do you mean by that, Alan? You know, I find it interesting then when they asked Jesus, what is the greatest command? He didn't start with don't kill. He didn't start with don't steal. He didn't start with don't be selfish and covet what your neighbor has. What did He say was the greatest command? To do. To start. To affirmatively step into an action. Because what I can promise you is that if you love your neighbor as yourself, the likelihood of you killing them is going to decrease significantly. Somebody say amen. And if you love your neighbor in an unselfish sort of way, the idea of stealing stuff from him becomes simply, why would I ever do that? It's like stealing from myself. Somebody say amen. And if we really want to get selfishness out of our lives, there is no better way to push selfishness out of the way. You can't simply say, I'm going to stop being selfish. I can promise you it's going to slip back in there. In fact, I don't know, does anybody notice? Anybody else trying to eat a little less sugar as the year starts? Is there anybody else on that? Okay, a few of us, just Sharon and I. But we're going to try. But I don't know if you've ever noticed that the more you think I'm going to eat a little less sugar, what's the first thing that pops into your mind when you head into the store? Oh my goodness, does that pie look good? Oh my goodness, does that cake look good? And of course, for me, the worst of all, that cookie's wonderful. I think I'll just have one. But it's very difficult to just have one cookie when your focus is, I just want to get rid of a little something. It's the same way in the Christian life. I heard somebody say it this way. You're going to get more progress in trying to do the do's that Jesus invites us to do than to ever ruminate over all the don'ts. Because the don'ts just kind of keep creating a bigger and bigger and bigger list. The do's become a journey that we can start on and continue on and find His blessing in all of our lives. Okay, you're right. If evil thoughts and bad language are a part of your life, they need to stop. If selfishness and greed are a part of your life, it needs to stop. But I can promise you, the best way to get to those things stopping is not simply the idea of emptying, but the idea that God wants to fill us with something. Amen. Jesus told the parable one time, talked about evil spirit that was driven from a person's life and swept clean. The house of his life was swept clean, but it wasn't filled with anything. He came back even more powerfully. And I think he was pointing to the idea that you can't just empty, you got to be filled. You can't just be about the process of saying, I'm going to stop doing that. You have to have a goal. You have to have a joy. You have to have a desire to be and to start and to renew something in your life. Sometimes it's not just about starting things, but to continually renew our commitment to the very best things in our life. I'm just going to mention three of those. Actually, I'm not going to mention, Jesus is going to mention them to you real quickly. Jesus gives some direction on the what of starting and renewing in Matthew chapter 6. So read with me. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets that the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Skipping on down. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street and corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Did you hear in the midst of all those don'ts, when we're looking for something new, when you pray and when you fast and when you give? Yes, we don't want to be about it for what it brings to us. Look at what I'm doing. But instead, we want to be about those things because of what we can become through them. Maybe I'm hopeful that all of these things are things that aren't starting new for you, but instead are just constantly being renewed. And we need to be reminded that we need to be a prayerful people. We need to be a people who turn to fasting. The idea of losing something that's part of our regular routine, and that is oftentimes food, but it doesn't just have to be that. I want to give something up so that God can open a door for me. And there can be a great number of things that we can do that. But also the idea, when you give. Peter's already mentioned it. This is a special time of year where we measure the giving potential in our hearts and our individual lives, and then that turns into a corporate measuring. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks. By the way, I want you to know that it's a real temptation not to tell the church that you're going to be talking about giving, just so you know. Right? But I know that all of you are so spiritually minded that you're not going to wake up next Sunday and say, Alan's going to talk about giving. I don't want to hear anything about that. You understand the risk, yes? The next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about becoming God's cheerful givers. And that's the way, when we give in that cheerful heart, that transformation takes place in our life and new creation becomes a part of us. You're right. It's timed exactly with the idea of us pointing towards developing what you're going to give so that we can, as a church, decide what we're going to spend and how we're going to spend it. I invite you to come and be a part of that series of lessons. One last idea. Because when we step into new creation, when that becomes the focus and the theme, and in reality the foundation and the core of our life, not just doing the do's and don't doing the don'ts, but I want to be new in you. We step in a powerful way into what God is bringing about for all things, for the entire universe, God's whole purpose. And we become these little seeds that begin the process. Jesus was when he rose from the grave. We are when we rise out of the waters of baptism. We continue that when something new and transformative, new creation is happening in our lives, whether that's more generous giving, more powerful praying, or the blessing that we discover in fasting. We are pointed towards what God is wanting to do for the entire universe. Are you ready to be made new? That's the invitation today. I don't know what that means in your heart individually, but I hope that we've pointed towards some great goals for all our lives. But I want to end with the words of Scripture as we join with God's eternal purpose in making our lives a new creation, to be a little bit of pointing towards the great new creation that he has to come. From Revelation chapter 21, and following this reading, we'll stand and sing during the invitation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, division between man and God. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, because there's new creation, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them." Skipping down just a little bit. "They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, can we say it together? "I am making everything new." Won't you come as we stand and sing?
He leadeth me, O blessed.